In the name of our gracious Lord God, who gave up everything for us so that we might have everything in Christ. Amen. The portion of God's Word that we are blessed to reflect upon this afternoon is two sections from God's Word, from the book of Joel in the Old Testament, selected verses from chapter 2, and also the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 7, selected verses from that. We read, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." And from Revelation, "After these things I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing in front of the throne and of the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and with palm branches in their hands. And he said to me, these are the ones who are coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." This is God's Word. In the name of Christ, our righteousness, my dear fellow redeemed and triumphant brothers and sisters in Christ. What should I wear? That's often a very practical question to consider, isn't it? If you're going to start your first day on a new job, a person will wonder, what should I wear? I want to make sure I dress appropriately. That first day of school, after summer vacation, and we've gone shopping for new clothes, what should I wear? We want to wear an outfit that's pretty nice and one that's appropriate for the first day back at school. What should I wear is sometimes a matter of safety and protection. We want to make sure that we're dressed warm enough, that we're wearing the proper protection for the job, shoes that are appropriate. What should I wear is a question we ask before a social get-together, like if our job is having some sort of celebration. We want to make sure we're dressed appropriately and that we don't stand out and draw any needless attention to ourselves. So we want to make sure we dress right. Sometimes people consider that question before they come here to God's house. What should I wear? Clothing is important. There's no debating that. We need it for protection. We need it for warmth. We need it to make sure we are safe and that everything is okay. Clothing, in fact, is so important, we can't live without it. We can't go out into society not wearing any clothes. We need to be covered. We need to be protected. We need to dress appropriately. So what should I wear is a very fitting, appropriate question to consider. It's also important to consider when thinking about our relationship with God. What do I need to be wearing? What do I need to be clothed in if I'm going to be right with my holy God and live forever? What do I need taken off of me if I'm going to have a relationship with the Lord and have eternal life? So as we consider that all-important question and our most important relationship of all, and as we are blessed today to sit at the foot of the cross of our Lord Jesus and be reminded of the most wonderful act of love that has ever been carried out and carried out for us, we're going to reflect upon that question, what should I wear? And we're going to rejoice today, and actually rejoice every day, that we have been taken from sackcloth and ashes and taken into robes of righteousness. The very first clothing that was ever put on was not put on because Adam and Eve were concerned about fashion. The very first clothing ever worn was not put on because they wanted to look nice and appropriate for the situation. The very first clothing ever put on was not put on by Adam and Eve because they were cold and they needed to be kept warm. The first clothing ever worn, the leaves that they put on, were because of shame. They tried to cover their guilt. They tried to cover their shameful nakedness before God because everything had changed. They had gone from righteous to sinners. They had gone from having a perfect relationship with their God and living in paradise to literally throwing it away, being separated from their God, and being in the sackcloth and ashes of their guilt. Now they were cut off from their God. They needed clothing that would cover them. But there wasn't enough clothing, and there was nothing that they could sew or put together that could cover that shame, that could cover their guilt. When Joel spoke these words in our text to the people of Israel, it was a sad time in Israel. It was a troubling time in Israel. When Joel said to them these words, "Rend your heart, not your garments, not your clothes." He was speaking to people in Israel where many of them, sadly, did not care. Many of them had become so complacent in being part of Israel that they thought that they were okay and they didn't need to take the Word of God real seriously. They had become so complacent that many in Israel were more concerned about doing what they wanted to do rather than falling before their God in obedience and living for Him. And then there was the other side of the coin for many in Israel. Some of them were doing the right things. They were worshiping on the Sabbath. They were dressing right. They were talking right. Many of them were giving 10% of their income to the Lord. They were going through the right motions. But here was the problem. Many were thinking that by doing these things, they were winning God's favor. By doing these things, they were somehow being set apart as being special before God. And they were trusting in themselves, their outward actions, their external appearance, and they thought that that was bringing them into a relationship with God. And to the people of Israel, whether they didn't care what the Bible said or they were trusting in their own righteousness, Joel says very bluntly, "Rend your hearts, not your clothing." God wants your heart. He wants you. You might remember how in Bible times, if somebody became really upset about something, they would tear their clothes. Remember Caiaphas? When Jesus stood before the high priest Caiaphas that Thursday evening, and Jesus confessed before him in response to his question, "Yes, I am the Son of God. I am as you say." Caiaphas, "Oh, I can't take it!" And he tore his clothes as a show of disgust and frustration and anger. We can't tear our clothing enough. There's nothing we can do. We cannot do enough to find favor with our God. We can't. Because in our own lives, we are clothed in only sackcloth and ashes of our own guilt. And there's nothing we can do, nothing we can say, nothing we can attempt, nothing we can try that can take that dirty, stained clothing off of us and bring us into the realm of living in harmony with our holy God. So when Joel spoke these words to Israel, it wasn't only to Israel, was it? He's speaking to us. Rend your hearts, not your garments. What matters is that we are right with the Lord. King David once said it this way in Psalm 51. Maybe you'll recognize these words. David said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." That right there is repentance. Realizing I am a broken down sinner in the dirt, and that I came from dust, and to dust I shall return. And that if I were paid back by my God for what I deserve, I would be lost for all eternity in hopeless despair. But when Joel says to rend your hearts, not your garments, listen to what he says about why. He doesn't say because God is terrifying. He doesn't say do this or else. He says because God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. What stands out most of all during the season of Lent, and I think you'll agree with me, is that as we view the cross, what is amazing is the tender heart of our God who shared in our humanity to go to the cross with our sin on him. We see his compassion and his heart reaching out to us who had sinful hearts as he bore our guilt and suffered and died as our substitute. We are seeing the compassionate heart of a gracious God who wants us to be right with him and have heaven for all eternity. That is what we see when we see Jesus, because when Jesus was on that cross, he took our stained, dirty, guilty clothing and he took it upon himself and he wore it instead of us. And in wearing our dirty, stained, sinful clothing and carrying our baggage, he suffered the penalty for our sin as he became one of us. And then, after taking off the filth and the dirt of our sin, he gave us himself. He took his spotlessness and put it on us. And that's what the disciple John was privileged to see in heaven. When he was exiled on that island of Patmos, and he seemed, but he wasn't, but he seemed to be defeated, Jesus appeared to him and gave him a glimpse of heaven and reminded him of the triumph that everyone has who is in Jesus Christ. Listen again to this triumph. "After these things I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing in front of the throne and the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands." Those palm branches, you can't help but think of Palm Sunday, right? The triumph and the celebration, because the palm branches were waved by those who were victorious. The saints of God, dressed in robes of white, clothed in the radiancy of Christ Jesus the Lamb, made clean because his blood was poured out and cleansed us of our sin. The blood didn't stain. The blood was his cleansing agent to wash us clean. And then waving those palm branches, because in heaven the saints of God, by the work of Jesus, are more than conquerors. That's what we are clothed in. As we suffer from day to day and carry the cross, as we endure hardship, as we struggle with temptation and fall like Peter and the other disciples did in not being able to stay awake with Jesus for 1 hour, as we turn inward and become self-centered rather than looking to give glory to God, as we struggle with sin, in Christ, because of Christ and because of his going to the cross, when God sees us, he sees people dressed in the righteousness of Christ, picked up from the dust and the ashes, and clothed in his own righteousness. What should I wear? It's a good question to consider. In fact, we consider that question every day before we head out into the world. What should I wear? The clothing we needed the most that we have is not clothing we needed to purchase. We needed to pick it out. We couldn't. We couldn't even put it on. Our gracious God, who is compassionate and love, has clothed us in the righteousness we need, so that now we are clothed in Christ, set free from eternal exile, and living in peace with our God. Amen.